Hello and welcome to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with comedian Tom Holmes.
Ahoy.
Fantasy football expert Ash Kernsworth.
Hello, everybody.
And me, Craig Hazel. It's the Gaffer Tapes episode 100. Did we not spend any budget on party poppers, on fanfare?
I was going to get one. I said that when I turned up.
What?
I said, Ash, I was supposed to bring one of them little... What's it called? The little blowy thing that...
I was going to get one.
The blowy thing that wiggles.
Yeah. Yeah. Your son's birthday parties must be a hoot. I was going to get one party popper for you. But no, it is episode 100 of the Gaffer Tapes. It is a special, special episode one. We're all here in the same room for the first time in quite a while.
Bloody last.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Two, we've got some big announcements about meeting up, we've got some Gaffer Tapes meetups coming up. And three, in part two, we've got a special interview with comedian, comedy actor, rapper, all-round good guy and Crystal Palace fan, Doc Brown.
Bam.
That's a pretty big episode 100, right?
My very close friend, Doc Brown. Yeah, yeah. Really good. Can't wait. And, bloody, as you heard at the start, some new music.
Yeah, well, that
Correct.
Is also
How
the big news.
Do you feel about that?
I think it's going to be controversial.
I think people are going to, yeah, they don't like
lose
change.
Their minds.
Our listeners don't like change.
I think
people changed
the
logo. I remember that years ago. We changed the logo and everyone went absolutely mental.
When we changed the logo, literally all 17 of our listeners went mental.
Yeah, they did. They went crazy.
Since then, we've got tens of thousands. So they go a bit mad. But the music change, yeah. You know, it took a long time. Remember when we first started, we had a who can actually name what this tune's from? And it took people... Like a lot of about 30 episodes before they even guessed what it was from. It
took a long time before someone said it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Yeah.
But then we were slightly worried we were going to get sued by a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game. So we changed it from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
But it's too late, Donatello,
game.
You nerd. You can't do it.
Exactly.
And he'd be the one who'd do it out of the four of them. Most
green
likely.
Prick.
Although he was the best. He was, yeah. Oh, he was purple, but he was green. Anyway,
yeah.
Enough of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Obviously, we've, with us being away, Tom being away, I've been away, we're all back in the same place. And there's a lot of football to chat about from game week 8. So it feels right we just crack on with that.
Yeah, it's been a bloody ages with people soldering their hands to, like, things and people being in Turkmenistan and people having erotic holidays with their stepdad.
Yeah.
We're all finally back together now.
We are all back together.
The bloody lads.
And as if they knew that was going to happen, Jurgen Klopp and Jose Mourinho got together and put on one of the worst Liverpool United games in the history of Liverpool United. It was bad. You probably didn't in Clacton, did you? But
no, mate, no TVs out there. Just gypsies and washing lines.
Yeah, and who won that?
Yeah, it was the gypsies, actually. I'd like to refer to this as Yawn Fest Part 1 of the game week. Yeah, I've seen the highlights. It wasn't great. It looked like Liverpool should have probably won. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, there was a lot of digs about, you know, Klopp sort of said... You know, Man United came here for a draw. That's not something we'd get away with at Liverpool. But no, fair enough. Fair play to them. It was all very passive aggressive. Klopp basically did the equivalent of like a woman at work writing about how to keep the fridge, an email around everyone else.
That happens so much in my work. But actually, I'm the one who has to write the emails about the about the fridge. And like, yeah, there is a dishwasher here. So if you could put your stuff in the dishwasher and not just leave it on the side, that would be great. Thanks. Like that constantly. That is my life. But
It was a bit of a disaster for anyone who captained Lukaku. Obviously, this week, if you had a good captain choice, you did very well. And Lukaku was the first of the captain choices that didn't really work out.
Flopped. 2 points for Lukaku. Nothing much happening. A lot of people would have potentially captained him. We saw a lot of that on Twitter.
Right near the end, they had a little stat, didn't they, that he'd touched the ball 17 times?
Really?
I'm sure it was about the 80th minute, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the extra stat to that, Ash, was that's less than both goalkeepers.
Yes, correct.
Wow. Like, that's bad.
Stats. Straight in with the stats on episode 100.
Well, I saw another stat, actually, that said that his record against top six sides versus, say, Jamie Vardy's record against top six sides, it was something like Lukaku's is sort of 6 to 8 goals in X amount of games to Vardy's 20-something. So there is a question mark over whether Lukaku scores against top six sides. I don't know. It's early to tell.
He's only really been playing for a top six side himself for, you know, not long, has he?
Yeah. No, I know. Although Leicester traditionally aren't the top six side either.
Well, of course,
one season.
That's but, true, yeah.
I mean, he's also, you forget of Lukaku, he's only 24.
Yeah. Very large.
He has stopped growing. We can confirm it. He is very large. Yeah. But Liverpool United, we shouldn't talk about that any more than we have to. No. But good for the clean sheets. A lot of people have Man United defenders. Phil Jones has been one of the standouts of the season.
Yeah, fuck me.
And I got scoffed at on Twitter when, basically in Togger this week, Togger Draft, which we also play, I beat Ash, it should be mentioned.
Did you?
I've won every game.
Wow. Look at this.
And I said on Twitter, yeah, the turning point for me was bringing in Phil Jones this season. And someone at Togger laughed at me, but he's been tremendous this season. So I think it's fashionable to slag him off. But actually, he's been very good. So it was a good pickup.
Well, do you know what? My little thing with Phil Jones, obviously, because I haven't been on a podcast for a while since the episode where we had Man City TV host Nicola McCarthy on. But what I did was a couple of weeks ago, I'm the first gaffer to use the free hit chip.
Oh, did you?
So I used it, yeah, a couple of weeks ago. But what I did was I didn't decide to use it until about the Thursday. So what I did was Saturday, just after the game week had gone, I took out Pogba. Now, this was like 3 weeks ago when he got injured or whatever. I took him out straight away, straight after the deadline, right? I got rid of him and someone else, I think Bertrand, and brought in a cheaper midfielder. I think it was Mkhitaryan at the time, who was a bit cheaper, and Phil Jones. So I got them in. I was like, brilliant. But then I decided to use my free hit chip, and I didn't realise. So 4 days later, I used my free hit chip. But then that cancelled what I had done. So then I still fucking had Pogba, whose price had gone down so much. So I was like, I made those changes. And then I thought, oh, if I use my free hit chip later, those will still stand. But no, it takes the whole game week.
Oh, shit.
I was like, fucking hell. So yeah, so I still ended up. No, so I still haven't had Phil Jones. I had him for that one game week.
Right.
That one game week.
Yeah, and, I heard they were having problems with the way it handles transfers in the same way.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Well, I still don't quite understand it.
And yeah, also, just whenever Tom did the whole thing.
Whenever Tom tells a story, it always sounds like he's selling something out of a suitcase. So I got lost during it. But no, Luke, I don't know if you actually heard last week, Tom, when you were away. Have you heard when we had Luke Kempner on?
I did. I listened to Luke's bit. I didn't bother listening to you two.
Of course not. But he kind of raised the point that the free chip, maybe the best time, the free hit, is on a double game week where there's teams where you wouldn't normally get them in on a double game week, like Stoke are on a double game week or Saints are on a double game week, and you can fill your team with those players, which is quite a good idea, to be honest. So
what I used it for was... it must have been when City played Palace and I didn't have any City players in. So I used it to get in three City players and I think I got three United players and I bought three. Everyone on the bench was like 3.9.
Right.
But obviously it's going to go back. Everyone on the bench was 3.9. Cheap. So I had this amazing starting 11 and I did have a fucking good week.
I guess that's the best way to go, isn't it? Yeah. So just fill the bench with utter shit.
Because I was like, oh shit, they're playing Palace, and they end up winning 5-0 or whatever.
So basically,
yeah,
that chip
Aguero, Silver.
It's a chance to play like Tom Holmes circa 2014.
Yeah, how I used to play by your Wallaces and your 3.9 defenders who have been injured all season, and then just spend big on your starting 11. Yeah, it's quite interesting to do that. But
it is an interesting
double game.
You see how it plays out. Let us know, anyone who's listening, if you've used it so far and how it's worked out. It'd be interesting to know what the best way to do that. But so far, the way that Luke kind of explained he would be using it is the best I've heard. Elsewhere, Burnley drew 1-1 with West Ham. Ash, not really a bad result away at Burnley, to be honest.
No, their home form hasn't been as good this year, has it, Burnley?
No, but you went down to 10 men, obviously.
It's pretty annoying. Obviously, like the quickest red card in the history of the world.
Yeah, so silly to get yellow cards. It's one thing to get a straight red, but to pick up two yellows...
Yeah, just like instantly.
Is nonsense. We had a few people tweet us that they had brought him into their side and, he seems to be back playing now, so they are pretty annoyed. And Chris Wood scored for Burnley, who Tom swears would have been his tip if he was here.
I swear to God, I can show you the evidence that I text Kidney Rob and I said, text Kidney Rob, he's fine, he's doing well. I said to him, I went, Kidney Rob, I said, bring in Wood at Burnley. I fancy him this week, and he didn't, and he scored. And I remember texting him going, should have brought him in, mate. And he went, all right, leave me alone. I'm at dialysis. he didn't really. He didn't really. He doesn't have it until Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays evenings. I like Wood. I've been keeping an eye on him. I actually brought in, and we're going to get to it shortly, but I brought in Tammy Abraham myself instead of Wood, which works out even better. But Yeah, Wood's on the radar. Wood's on the daily radar.
He's on 3 goals already this season. He signed from Leeds, if I got it right. And he's a big lump of a striker, but he's one of those. He's a good player. He scores goals. And with clubs like Liverpool, who don't have a striker, genuinely, they could use players like Tammy Abraham or Chris Wood because they don't have a striker. And
I'd be happy with him at Arsenal, mate.
We were talking about big time at the start of the season. Then he got, in the pre-season pod. They actually started pretty well, but he went back off the boil. Hmm. But they've had some difficult games, I suppose.
Who's that, sorry? Chris Wood?
Oh, Wood, yeah. Wood.
Yeah, yeah. He's, you know, for a guy who's new at a club, and obviously he had to try and dislodge Sam Vokes, who is, you know, pretty reliable. He's done pretty
Always
well.
Difficult to dislodge Vokes.
It's to dislodge Vokes. The big upset of the weekend was Palace beating Chelsea 2-1. And Wilf Zaha, we've talked about him a few times. I thought he was must-have at the beginning of the season because I didn't realise they were going to be so appalling. And it proves there's light at the end of the tunnel for Palace.
Well, not only did they finally score a goal in game week 8, they beat the fucking champs.
Yeah.
Mad is that?
So annoying.
Maddest thing you've ever heard.
I really wanted them to break some sort of all-time, create a record that would be unbeatable for how shit you can be.
Oh, that's not very nice, is it? Especially with Doc Brown on in part 2.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, I was just going to say that you did point out the old reverse gaffer Palace hoodoo.
Yes.
Exactly.
They were on a terrible run last season. I think they hadn't won in 2 months, certainly not at home. They invited the gaffers to Selhurst Park. You and Ash go along. They beat Middlesbrough.
Actually, I'll stop you there. We went along to the VIP box with Doc Brown.
Yes, that's
right.
We
were in there drinking with him. So, and then, yeah.
So it must be some sort of
you boys record with him.
If you put us and Doc Brown in the same place, Crystal Palace perform. That's a fact.
Exactly.
That's science.
Then, yeah, this happened. So I think, Doc, if you want to come on and be the fourth gaffer weekly, Palace would fucking win the league.
Yeah.
That's it. Or just come over for dinner or something. Babysit.
Yeah. Babysit, yeah, seriously, if you could, that'd be lovely.
So is the whole, because we kept saying last year that Palace looked fine, didn't they? Is it literally the whole thing that Zaha's been out injured?
I don't know, obviously in part 2, as you know, Ash, I was about to say Ben, but it's saying wanky, but Doc Brown gives a better insight to it than we ever could because he's a proper Palace fan and watches them. And he does say it's all mental, it's all psychological because it's the same set of players, they're good players. And if they can get the confidence from this, next few weeks, granted they've got a game against Spurs in the middle of it, but their other fixtures are Newcastle, West Ham, who else have they got? They've got Brighton, they've got Everton. There's winnable games again.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not as if other teams in the league have been on fire. Leicester have just sat their manager. So it's you know, I don't know, maybe Zaha's, is he worth looking at again as that extra thing? Because his price must have gone down, he hasn't played.
It's gone down 3 whole pips.
Wow.
See, I think everything they do goes through him, especially with their injuries they've got going on up front. So, I don't know, it's worth maybe looking at on your bench, I don't know.
I wonder if his price is due to go up. It's got to be, isn't it?
After the goal, maybe, yeah, and they just beat Chelsea, obviously. But just Premier League's a bit mad, isn't it? And to talk about it being a bit mad, Man City beat Stoke 7-2.
Yeah, they're looking unfucking stoppable.
You know, Aguero gets in a car crash and they're still beating Team 7-2.
Yeah, and so, speaking of which, David Silva's price is the next one to go up.
When's it likely to go up? Because I nearly brought him in today.
It will be soon, yeah.
Will it? I might have to do it
Silva's,
now.
Silva's like, you know, you've got to talk about Silva. We need to talk about Kevin.
I know we're going to be talking about Spurs in a second, but me, I'm taking out Dele Alli before his price drops, because surely that's on the...
I got rid of Ali last week.
And I'm bringing in Silva this week.
That's exactly...
I nearly did it earlier, and I was like, oh, I'll wait till we do the pod in case, you know, any of you come up with something sort of really, really interesting, and then I'll just pass it off as well.
We've never said anything interesting, so that is it.
But you might say something good, and I'll go...
I might, and then Craig might pass it off as his in about...
Yeah, that's what he usually does, and then I nick it off Craig, and then I text Kidney Rob, and he thinks I'm a fucking genius. And because he doesn't listen to the podcast because he hasn't got the internet.
Or the energy. but no, Silva's traditionally, like last couple of years, maybe because of a rotation thing, maybe because of the way they play, maybe because he's had to drop deeper, he hasn't really been a fantasy football kind of threat as such. He got 130 points last year and 96 the year before. Mm. Whereas this season, It's the first time in a long time I've seen he's the second highest scoring midfielder at the moment at 8.5 million. So 51 points already.
He still looks fucking weird with a shaved head.
He though, does look weird. Yeah. He looks like he's been ill, but he's...
That was one of the questions that we had for Nicola McCarthy when she was on. It was like, you know, what, sending, tweeting your questions to, you know, Man City TV host Nicola McCarthy. And one of them was, why does David Silva look so mental with a shaved head? And she never answered it, but I didn't have the
either way,
to say,
it's
but
some
I think we
Samson,
all knew.
Reverse Samson stuff, because he
reverse
looks great.
Samson, yeah.
And Ash and I were talking off air, that City, the big problem with City normally is who's going to be dropped. But you were saying, Ash, he looks pretty undroppable right now, doesn't he?
I think so. I think him and De Bruyne, although De Bruyne isn't amazing FPL-wise, I'm pretty happy I've got him in my Togger team. But like those two are just there every... Oh, I mean, they're both going to be dropped now, aren't
they? Silva has played 90 minutes every single game bar two when he played 77 and 75.
He's pretty undroppable.
He's nailed on, isn't he?
I think I said on the pod, and it's not quite proved right yet, but I think in the pre-season pod, I think we all sang De Bruyne's praises, sort of saying, if he stays injury-free, he's the best player in the league for me.
You did,
And four of the top six scoring midfielders in the game are Man City.
Yes,
so
they are, yeah.
Sterling, Silva, Sané, and De Bruyne.
Two of the top four strikers of City as well.
Yeah, and that includes Leroy Sané, who's only played 400 minutes this season compared to Eriksen's 663. So they do look unbelievable. 7-2 against Stoke is a ridiculous score. It doesn't matter who gets injured or who gets dropped. They just got depth everywhere. And as we're recording now, they're currently giving Napoli a 2-0 doing at half-time, which is incredible. They look the real deal.
Of the last 6 seasons, Silva's basically been just under 10 million. He's never quite hit 10, but he's been like 9.8.
Right.
He started this season on 8.
And I think that's because of his 98-point season, isn't it?
Yeah, so he's gone up to 8.5, but still he's so cheap at that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know how you ignore him, to be honest, especially as the likes of Dele Alli aren't really doing, Mkhitaryan, with Pogba's absence, aren't really doing anything.
Yeah.
While you two were just talking then, I just did it. Dele Alli out.
I mean, this is the first. You're now making transfers whilst we talk on the... This isn't...
I've never done that before. Well, it's episode 100, isn't it? It's about things and stuff up. We've got new
good
theme tune music. Earlier, I've been thinking about it, but about 5 minutes ago, I knocked my own headphones out of my ears and it all went quiet for ages and really awkward, so that's going to sound weird.
Did they slip out of your wet ears?
Oh, mate, don't. Clacton was a hotbed for wet ears. I don't know what it was. My ears were just soaking, sodden. They were sodden. I was getting through bog roll like you wouldn't believe. I was rolling it up into like big old fat sausages and just like slamming them in my ears. Oh.
Right, enough ear chat. In true gaffer tape.
It's just like a different world.
Yeah.
In true gaffer tape style, we're vastly taking
our
time.
Yeah, I did.
I knocked my headphones
out of my ears.
Spurs beat Bournemouth 1-0. Another captain mistake. You had to captain Kane though, didn't you? Surely. Did. You did. The world did.
We had two people tweeted us, regular tweeters. They tweeted us and said, that they triple captain a couple of them.
Oh,
that's
brutal.
But that's madness, really, isn't it? Why would you triple captain I don't know, Spurs at home, which isn't home.
I just don't think you can captain Spurs players.
I must say, it was Adam SA on Twitter, regular tweeter. He tweeted us and said that he was triple captaining because, you know, looking at it, Kane's got an amazing record against Bournemouth. And do you know what? I even thought about it myself. I thought, is it the game week to defend?
But I know why you thought about it. You thought about it because your dream, and you'll fantasize about this whilst you're sending fridge emails at work. you'll be there thinking, if I triple captain someone on a single game week and he scores 4 goals, I'm going to be so smug. I'm going to tell everyone. That's what you're thinking of, Tom.
No. You don't need to be smug when something is a fact.
Doesn't matter how many times you triple captain Lukaku on a Thursday, and he's still
that last
fuck all.
I did that last time when we were in the VIP box with Doc Brown. It was during that Palace thing. Yeah, I triple captain.
I just think captaining, like Ash says, captaining a Spurs player when they're not playing at home this season, away from City. The double game week argument with City is going to be an interesting one because of the depth in their squad, when they have two fixtures close to each other, is anyone guaranteed 180 minutes? I would say no.
But the only thing about captaining a Spurs player is at least you know they're going to play.
Yes, exactly.
They're not going to not play Kane, are they?
But you get those options at United, you get those options at Chelsea, like Morata when fit. He will play all those minutes. Yeah. Lukaku will play those minutes. So, but it was Christian Eriksen anyway, who obviously is the top scoring midfielder and just absolute fantasy football all-round good guy. getting points. Elsewhere, Swansea beat Huddersfield 2-0, and our man Tammy Abraham, who's in my side, got two goals.
I brought him in myself, actually.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good move. Did you have him, Ash? Do the three of us have him?
No, I don't think I've got him, actually.
But yeah, he's a good player. I watched a lot of him when I was working. When I worked in Nickelodeon, we had to watch a lot of Football League for a job, and just saw a lot of him. He's a good player. He's in the sort of top seven strikers in the game now, even though he costs 5.7 million. Everyone around him is 8.5 or more. So
he's 5.7 now, is he?
He's gone up to 5.7, yeah.
He has gone up a lot, yeah.
But he's in company with...
Bayerns as well. Who is it? Sorry, is it Ayew who's injured?
Jordan Ayew? No, I don't think he's injured.
No.
They've re-signed Wilfred Bonny, haven't they? So he's kind of competing with him for minutes.
Although, because what we were talking about, I was talking up Jordan Ayew at the start of the season, wasn't I?
Yes, yeah.
So I think he's really good. He's played 90 minutes of every game so far.
He's like a manager. He's not a fantasy football manager, but he's a manager's dream. He just works relentlessly. He's like a modern day Paul Dickov. He just runs constantly and tires down defenders.
That's a cracking reference, that is.
But here's, like, in terms of value for money, Harry Kane has only scored 8 more points than Tammy Abraham and is 7 million.
Mental.
Fucking hell, that's crazy. So you put it into...
That shows you, you know, that's, he's only scored 4 goals, Abraham, but that's 4 more than Dwight Gayle scored, Tom.
Well, I was just about to say that's 4 more. So it's currently the Gaffer Takes 4, the Sun Dream Team 0. A little bet that we had with the Sun Dream Team. We're on to win a bag of tangerines and a stapler, potentially.
Yeah, and I'll use both those things equally. Watford beat Arsenal. Troy Deeney, Tom Cleverley, and Per Mertesacker getting points for absolutely nobody. So that was that game. Xhaka picking up his customary booking.
Did you see the... I think it was Xhaka, the gif of one of the Arsenal defenders picking his nose.
No, really.
I'm sure it's Xhaka. Like, so when the last goal goes in, he stood on the edge of the box instead of picking up his man. He's literally just looking into space, picking his nose.
Fucking hell, sounds about right. I don't really want to talk about it. Like, you know, we can all laugh about it and stuff, but I'm absolutely seething.
Well, we seem to have the opposite effect on Arsenal. Obviously, Luke Kempner came on last week and said how the media is a bit of a myth that Arsenal aren't actually getting bad results.
Yeah.
And he was right.
Luke Kempner is,
and now
the,
they are.
Yeah.
We were talking up Richarlison.
Yes, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago as well, he got a sneaky little assist in there, didn't he?
He
looked really good.
Yeah, he's a good midfield option, Richarlison, definitely. Mm. He's one I only noticed from playing draft, where I came up against him 1 week and was like, oh my God, dude, this guy's killing it. And so I started to look at his FPL value, and actually, yeah, he is a good little pick.
He's one of those ones, if you watch Watford, he's, like I say, just in the highlights, he's just always there. Always him doing something.
Yeah, everything kind of goes through him.
But Wenger's kind of said as well. He said that Ozil and Sanchez could go in January.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Ozil, the thing is, one minds about that.
No, but I mean, the money, it ain't going to be the same money as if they'd have gone in the summer. It's kind of like desperation buys. Like, no, they'll stay. No, they fucking stayed. They fucking hate you. They hate the club. They couldn't give a shit. Oh, I'm fucking injured. Oh,
the only thing that works in their favour is that since last year, football has changed in terms of transfer fees.
Oh, yeah.
So, actually, it's the same with Real Madrid talking about Bale being for sale. Normally, that would be, you'd lose value on that. But because football's changed and people are paying such money now, Bale, they'll make a profit on, even though they're actually happy to get rid of him.
So yeah.
It's a bit of a weird one. Sunday football had Brighton drawing with Everton. Knockhart finally getting some value, which he was bigged up before the season. And Rooney getting his third goal of the season. And then Super Sunday was Saints versus Newcastle 2 for Gabby Adini.
Yeah, the twat had him all fucking season.
I think that's his first two goals of the season, is it?
No, right. he scored once.
Against West Ham.
He did score, actually, yeah.
Because
obviously the start of this season will be forever remembered for the amazing run of Southampton fixtures, but no one fucking did anything.
Yeah,
and they've still got a decent run in the next three games. But yeah, I had Gabby Adini, kept hold of him and got rid of him, swapped him for Abraham. Abraham scores too, but then so does Gabby Adini. So I didn't really gain anything from that, annoyingly.
And then Monday Night Football, the worst first half of football I've ever seen. It was Leicester versus West Brom. Mahrez out of nowhere popping up, and Nasser Chadli, two ex-good FPL people, getting goals.
Nice little tweet. I can't remember who it was. Someone said that Mahrez is definitely just playing for a transfer, not playing for his team.
Oh, really?
Which I think was He's quite spot on, really. He just wants out of there, I think. He's one of them.
Well, and obviously, Leicester have now today sacked Craig Shakespeare.
Yes, that happened, didn't it, this morning?
So apparently they just don't tolerate relegation battles, even though they've been in lots in their history. You'd thought Chris Coleman now becomes a top man for that job.
Do you think I was going to say who's
I think they'd be stupid not to... not to go for Chris Coleman, personally.
People saying Ranieri coming back.
Yeah, that, I mean, that won't happen. It's too much.
Surely not.
And he's got a job. So, he, you know, but unless
Morrison works in Morrison's now, doesn't he?
Well, exactly, yeah.
Meat counter.
Unless they, you know, Martin O'Neill wants to go back for familiarity after the World Cup campaign, if they qualify, I don't know why you wouldn't offer that to Chris Coleman. Yeah, but Allardyce will be linked, but it all seems a bit mad when you could get someone like Coleman who's done a brilliant job. And he probably wants another shot at the big time. So
I heard, talking of Allardyce, sorry, a bit of a tangent. I heard he was linked to the Scotland job. Did you hear that?
What, Allardyce?
Yeah, Allardyce linked to the Scotland job. He's offered himself up for it. And Ali McCoy's come out and went, I think he'd be brilliant. He didn't say it in that. He went, I think he'd be brilliant.
Is he Irish?
But in the Scottish. Yeah, in the Scottish. He was just putting an accent. St. Patrick's Day.
I was with West Brom. It's a shame their fixtures are murder. Because Chadley is 0.2% picked because he's been out. And he's like an amazing fantasy player.
He scored a fantastic goal. It was an absolute thunder bastard, wasn't it?
And yeah, they haven't got the greatest of runs, have they? They've got to play Chelsea. Huddersfield away is a tough one. City.
That was his first game back, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've had enough of West Brom. They're fucking horrible to watch. I'll never watch a West Brom game again.
Well, everyone's jumped on that. You boys have both jumped on the fucking Hegazi bandwagon. Ash, you back? I'm not. Oh, you're not? I thought you were Hegazi. Oh, Craig is, though. Craig.
Yeah, I've got Hegazi.
I'm well on the Gross.
Yeah.
And the Josselu. But I think if you've got one of those kind of players, like a Gross or someone who's just sat on your bench forever, like if you've got a player around that value, I reckon get Chadley in. And then it might not pay off now, but in like 5-6 games' time, I think it will.
Return on investment. Chadley, sweet. You heard it here first. Ash is saying sweet. That.
But boys, since we were just talking about Leicester, it is time, of course, for the biggest feature in British broadcasting. It's Where's Wallers?
Where's Wallers?
Where's Wallers?
He's on a bloody gaffer tapes t-shirt, guys. Yes, big announcement to those who aren't in the old Twitter sphere. Verified on Twitter. Thanks very much, guys. TheGaffertapes.com/shop is open for business. We have t-shirts. We have a bloody Where's Wallers t-shirt. We have your Gaffer Tapes logo. We've got your No Click Wanker, which has been very popular. They're all up for grabs. And you're not just t-shirts. You've got t-shirts, hoodies, Baby Grows, which I'm definitely going to be getting. Baby Grows.
I've got a niece or nephew coming next month, and they are getting one.
Shit.
There's tote bags. Don't even know what a tote bag is. There's vests.
Mugs. Stickers.
What? Mugs. There's phone a fucking cases. Pillow. You want a gaffer tape pillow? Buy a gaffer tape pillow.
Yeah.
There's loads madness. Of them. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. So yeah, go to thegaffertapes.com/shop and you can like design your own, well, not design your own t-shirt, but customise your own t-shirt. I want this graphic. I want this colour. Amazing. Yeah.
Loads of stuff. We actually just started getting photos in now of people getting their
now,
first ones.
Yeah, because you've got to order them from the US and A.
Yeah, we've had Chuck Bailey's just sent a picture of his Neil versus Real.
Oh, has he?
Real.
Did he get one as well?
He got a Neil
versus Real one. They're my favourites. They're amazing. But honestly, check them out. We're like excited little schoolgirls.
We don't have excited little schoolgirls designs. That's not a
okay,
thing.
We can knock one up if you want. If you want a excited little
if you want that on a sticker or a tote bag, we'll do it.
Oh, me and Ash are just checking Twitter now to see
the Neil versus Royale. Well, Ash should be very proud of that one. Obviously, it's after his creation. But yeah, please do go to thegaffertapes.com/shop. I'm very particularly fond of the Where's Wallers one, so I hope some people
Where's
pick up
Wallers
some of them.
Good, yeah.
And they can pop up at the live show with them next week. We'll talk about that later. But let's quickly do the leagues before we move on to a very, very exclusive part two that we'll intro in a bit. Top 10, shall I go for the top 10?
Go for the top 10, mate, of the Gaffer Tapes League, ladies and gents, which you can still join on 1072-420.
Okay,
thegaffertapes.com/join.
In 10th place, it's Red Devils, Danny Al-Kalim. In 9th place, it's Brandon Clark's Glory Hunters. In 8th place, Zach Anania Lick Matip. In 7th place, it's Ken's son, it's Luke Barlow with Dumar Army. In 6th place, it's Robert Jones, the Wet Pandas. In fifth place, Stephen Kirkwood, Team Destruction.
Wow, recognise some of those names.
Fourth place is Abdullah Al Mamun, Entropy. In third place, I don't recognise this one, Nick Henry, Veiled Banger. That's a secret sausage!
Is it? Oh, Veiled Banger, of course it is.
No way.
Veiled Banger is a secret sausage.
Oh, you clever
Someone's
little...
secret sausage is third in the Gaffer Tapes League. That's incredible.
Wow. Highly illegal secret sausage.
In second place is Khaled Luhichi. Mm. And in first place is your next bitch, Prince Uthup. So that is the top 10. Aggressive. Well done, top 10.
Shout out to number 7, Luke Barlow, who's a Gaffer, member of the official Gaffer Ratsy.
Oh, really?
Can I interject?
No.
I don't think this is on the rundown. big shout out to current leader of Manager of the Month.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that?
Richie Coleman with Coleman's Mustard.
Oh! Lovely.
Nice. He's got 102 left. Points so far this season. Wow. He's 20 points ahead of anybody for the...
Is he?
He's in a month.
Really good week.
For the month,
probably
yeah.
Triple captain.
Not long left, to be honest. 13 days left of the month. So, will it be a prize month, won't it? You don't find out until the month's over, guys. It's very exciting.
Oh, my God. His team this... Is it this week? Yeah, he's nearly got the highest in the whole league.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got De Gea, Trippier, me and Lascelles, which didn't really do anything, but then Sterling, Silva, Knockhart, Eriksen, Tammy Abraham.
He shouldn't have put you in his side, that was a mistake.
Yeah. Lukaku and Captain Jesus.
Always Captain Jesus. Some of our positions then, boys, just before we go to part two. Ash, still the daddy of G wing currently. You had a 50 point week. You played your wild card, mate. And
everybody did terrible apart from Silver and Sterling, who got all my points.
Yeah, which is do you regret it a little bit, didn't you? Doing your wild card?
I had long term strategy.
Well, long term. Think about the future. You're 377th, a 7-click wanker. Then it's me, Big T Dog, the people's champ. The talk of the town. 470th, 9-click wanker. I had a 53 point week. And then Craig, at the same as you, 50-point week, is 557th, 11-click wanker. To be fair, there's about 6 points between the three of us.
Yeah, it's all very close, yeah.
Yeah, there's about 200 places, but about 6 points. And then some notable people in the league is Domi Mons is there.
That can't be right, can it?
Is what? 557th, yeah, he's dropped.
Isn't that where Craig is?
Yeah.
Oh, you're the side. I didn't even realise that. You're the same. You must be the same points, Craig and Dom.
Beef.
Dom has dropped.
Monaghan. Be curious, motherfucker.
Yeah, bit of beef, bit of gaffer beef there. Asmir Begovic is 750th, 14-click wanker. Luke Kempner, our lovely guest that was on last week, who everyone laughed. A massive, massive love for Luke on the pod last week, filling in for me when I was in bloody clackers. He's 245th, doing better than anyone. Marcel from Love Island, 1,406th, 28-click wanker. Shit. I've looked though. I think he's still touching his team. He's a massive fan with blazing squad rotation. And then obviously the second biggest feature in British broadcasting is of course Tom Davis versus Tom Davis. Tom Davis from Murder in Successville, 1,251st. 391 points.
That's
Tom Davis.
The Tom we know and love.
That's the Tom we know and love, yeah. He's been too busy. He's been abroad filming. But Tom Davis, not from Murder and Successville, 232nd. Ooh. Oh, rising like the proverbial salmon, with 461 points. So he's smashing it.
I think this should be like...
He's going to keep that Davis Cup.
I think this should be like the actual Davis Cup where, you have tiers
of
it.
What do you mean? Have you not seen the cup that he received? the small cardboard cup that managed to fit in a small envelope that I sent to him?
In the other fake Davis Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have like tiers.
Yeah.
So if you're shit, you play
and cry and stuff.
I think there should be two divisions.
That does rely on us finding more Tom Davises.
Yeah, because 50% of the Tom Davises in this competition are clearly terrible.
Well, if you know any other Tom Davi. Then bring them along and we'll make it bigger. We'll do a Champions League group phase of the Tom Davis Cup.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm all up for expanding the Davis Cup. Right? More Tom Davis is better.
Every week it would be like, and so Tom Davis from Murdering Successful has got 1 point. And then Tom dives across the table to his defence. Oh, no, but it was a hectic schedule. He was in Miami filming. Oh,
He's everywhere. He is.
We need to look after our fellow verified listeners, Ash, now that we're verified. There's a kind of unity.
Exactly.
I think we need to look after people like Adam Wilde, manager of Are You Ready? Yeah. Who's joined our... Who's the latest player to join the league?
Such a fucking communist, Ash.
God, he is, isn't he? Terrible. Right. Oh, we should all
anyway,
just split up.
Listen, we've gone on for a long time because we're back all together. We all got very excited.
Yes.
Yes. But we are going to go away and part two is coming up. And after that, part three is as normal. But part two is a little bit special this week. Whilst Tom was away, we managed to get a chat with Doc Brown, comedian, rapper, actor, whilst he was on tour with Ricky Gervais. So he called in and had a chat to us. We didn't ask him any stupid questions. We didn't make him do any jingles. We just chatted some football and he gave us what is... It was pretty interesting, wasn't it, Ash?
Yeah, yeah.
I still haven't listened and I cannot wait to hear.
Well, it's just...
Because didn't he tell you boys that he was actually in the dressing room with Ricky Gervais at the time?
He was waiting to go on stage, yeah. So he had a bit of time to kill, about 25 minutes or half an hour, and we just let him talk about football, about Palace, a bit about modern football. Really interesting guy. So coming up in part two, you're going to hear the thoughts of Doc Brown, remembering this is before Crystal Palace beat Chelsea. So not only were you lucky charm, but it might be a bit less doom and gloom now. So coming up in part two, you've got an exclusive interview with Doc Brown. And then in part three, obviously, we're back to some tweets, some questions, some quizzes and some tips for game week 9. So all that's coming up in part two and three of the Gaffer Tapes. Hello, welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with Ash, me, Craig. And in the absence of Tom, we've upgraded and gone about 10 better with Ben Bailey-Smith, aka Doc Brown. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Are you like backstage, ready to go on stage now, tonight?
I'm backstage with Gervais. He doesn't know anything about football, so he's not going to interject.
No, that's fair enough.
Yeah, we're getting into these 12 nights at Hammersmith Apollo.
Yeah, that's right. How's it been going? Is it good?
Yeah, great, man. It's the best job in the world. You know, I can come on and be shit and it's fine because they just come to work, you know? So
None of that is true. But let's talk. Obviously, it's a football... Sorry, Ash, go on.
I was going to say, before, after the Ricky Gervais film came out, I went to one of the shows that you guys did.
Yeah.
It was really, really good, yeah.
So firstly, we like getting people on, Ben. We like you because you're legitimately a football fan. You're not a celebrity who half likes football and has to pretend when they go and talk about stuff. So, and let's talk Palace as much as you might not want to, first and foremost. What's happening? What's the solution? Have you given up for the season?
Yeah, I don't know where you got your facts from, mate. I don't watch football. I don't know who Palace are. that's actually my stock response at the moment because obviously wherever I go, it's just people giving me jip about Palace, you know. So whenever they say it, I say, oh, I don't watch football, bro. Do you remember that tune, I Don't Smoke the Reefer? It's basically like that.
Sadly, you're quite well publicised online about being a Palace fan. You even did a rap. I mean, stop moaning, try being Palace.
Yeah, you know, that gets thrown at me as well. I mean, it's, you know what it is? It's in part, it's an anomaly because it's what's going on at the moment. But in another way, if you ask a real Palace fan, of which I count myself, they're not that surprised.
Yeah.
Palace, we are, if we're famous for anything, it's crazy runs. Like, we've got the worst records, you know. Yeah. Like when you see a headline that says best break record, you know it's not doing anything good, you know. Like, we've always had these horrible little facts following us around. It's just a club, you know. We've always done outlandish things in like really bad ways, you know. We're the only club to have, and you can finish that blank with all sorts of negative stuff, you know, from going back to when I was a kid when we were ground sharing with Wimbledon. No one else was doing that, you know. No one else
didn't set a trend.
Administration twice within 5 years. No one else did that. You know, no one else lost to Liverpool 9-0 in that season, you know, and then at the same time came back and knocked them out of the FA Cup. We're one of those weird teams that just does terrible, terrible things, like, to the extreme. Like, we take it to an extreme.
But there's a sense of pride in your voice. I can hear it. You're almost
no
proud.
Question. Like, the only cup we've won, Zenith Data Systems. who even knew that was a cup? You know what I mean? Like, we do terrible things really, really well. Similarly, for our opponents, if there's a team that has a terrible record going, that's close to being, like, Palace level of terrible, when they play us, they'll beat us, and we'll help chop that record before it becomes something horrific. So if you haven't won away from home for 100 years, you come to Selhurst Park, guarantee you'll beat us. You know,
the Good Samaritans of the Premier League.
Yeah, in a way. To be 100% serious, I think the jig is up for Palace. Really? I think we've been essentially doing a bit of a Sunderland for a few seasons now.
Oh, I don't think you're that bad.
No, I don't think we're as bad as Sunderland, because unlike Sunderland, we have that unpredictability wherein you've put us up against a big club, anybody but Man United, and we might just get you a result. On our good day. What's bizarre about Palace is the same team that beat Chelsea two seasons running, the same team that beat Liverpool at Anfield, the same team that made Arsenal look like the dickheads we all know they are deep down last season, is unable to score a goal this season.
Yeah, that's the
harsh reality of it. That is what's happening. It's the same team. Some Palace fans will say, well, hold on, we've not had Scott Dan or Wilf Zaha. And that is very true. But there's a lack of confidence around the place at the moment. I don't know if it would matter if we had, you know, Franz Beckenbauer and Michel Platini in their prime. There's just no confidence at the club. And if you've ever played the game, you know, if you're in a habit of winning, you keep winning and you don't even know how you're doing it. If you're in a habit of losing, you keep losing and you don't know how you're doing it. I mean, the goals within the first 5 minutes that we've conceded this season is shocking. The goals in the first 5 minutes of the second half is shocking. It's just like we've just come out there with no confidence whatsoever, concede the early goal, the heads drop, and that is all she wrote. And it's very hard to watch.
But to that, because it's obviously mental, because you've got some good players. It's a mental, psychological thing.
Yeah, no question. It's emotional, yeah.
In which case, was it wrong to just get rid of De Boer, bearing in mind it wasn't really his fault? It's a psychological thing, or did it come from him?
No question it was a mistake. It was a mistake to get rid of him. But the big but is we don't know what the relationship between him and Parrish is like. At any club, if a relationship breaks down behind closed doors, someone has to go. Whether you're winning or losing, because a club has to be united. And I'm not speaking from any, with any authoritative information here. Sometimes I know what's going on inside Palace because I do know a few people. This, I genuinely don't know anything, but my guess is that the two of them just didn't see eye to eye. People will say, oh, Palace have had so many managers in the last few years. We're not like some Italian club who keep firing their manager. If you actually look at all the sackings or the resignations, they're all unique. Pulis was a unique situation. Allardyce was a unique situation, you know? Like, there were so many managers that we've had that we didn't expect to just suddenly go. So, actually, I don't really buy into the stats of, oh, Parrish just hires and fires. I think he's done it this time with De Boer, and I don't know what the real reason behind it is. It's not because we didn't win our first four games. That's bullshit. It's not
that.
There's something else going on. What is disappointing for me is the results of those first four games, because I remember seeing the fixtures coming out and thinking, these are four winnable games.
Yeah, that's it. I actually thought you were a big team. In my fantasy football team, I was like, right, I'm packing out Palace because I think it's going to be a big year.
Not? Exactly.
Wilf Zaha, I thought, was a must-have for anyone playing the game this
year.
No
question. You know, and I just looked at it and I thought, ooh, I looked at this period that, you know, as the way that it's worked out has been Hodgson's introduction. I looked at this period of Chelsea, the two Manchester clubs, and Newcastle away, and I thought, ooh, that second round of four is going to be so tough. But it's okay, because we'll win or get at least a few points from the first four, and then maybe we'll nick off of one of those, the second four. And the way that it's worked out is horrific. But from an outsider's point of view, it looks even crazier. From an insider's point of view, you know, I watched that Burnley game very closely, the last game that De Boer managed for us. Mate, it was a hair's breadth away from being a win. We were just really unlucky.
Yeah, that is it, though. Sometimes it is those things that they won't get reported.
Been 2 or 3-1 to us, easily.
Yeah.
And people don't really take that into account. They're just like, Palace haven't scored again. They haven't scored again. They're on a terrible run. Actually, I go as far as saying, and I don't normally say this when we lose, but I feel like we deserve to win against Burnley. And I think Sean Dyche would say the same thing. So, you know, we had unlucky moments with De Boer. We were improving. I think it was a round peg into a square hole. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it was ever really going to fit because we're Palace. And, you know, we have a way of playing. You know, from before I was even born, Palace played on the counter-attack with wingers that hugged the touchline.
Yeah.
That's just the way they played. My dad told me that, you know, and he was watching Palace in the era of, like, you know, Peter Taylor and Vince Hilaire, classy wingers who the lines on the side and would get in behind defenders. If they couldn't get past them, they'd whip in a cross. And we'd always have a big lump up front, whether he was an actual centre forward or a defender. And that's how we got our goals. And if you see Palace at our very best in the past 5 years, that's how we still got our goals, you know? Yannick Bolasie and Wilfried Zaha, Yannick when he was there, you know, switching wings and baffling defenders, you know, with really intuitive, unpredictable movement, bringing in balls. And then we'd have, you know, someone like Scott Dan in the centre-back position or more recently Benteke up there to soak up the beautiful soup because we're stewed by Wilfried and Yannick, you know.
Well, we were convinced Ash is a big like Benteke fan, especially in a fantasy wise. I was convinced that was a like good signing. There's like no one could have predicted any of this really, and I think I think, you know, it's one of those, not to quote the Mighty Ducks, but a quarter of inch the other way, like you say, the other bits of luck. And I think you wouldn't be in this situation. It's a lot of outsiders who maybe watch Match of the Day and go, or just look at tables and zeros and kind of go, they're shit, they're done.
Yeah, of course. And now we are the laughing stock of the Premier League. I mean, it's not something we haven't been before, so we're kind of okay with that. and Palace fans famously, you know, have a sense of humour. So we're not too fussed about that. I think what the majority of us are upset about is how chaotic things are feeling behind the scenes at the minute, you know?
Right.
Roy Hodgson felt like a rushed appointment in a situation where, okay, look, maybe Parrish De Boer relationship was unworkable. I just feel like we could have just carried on rudderless for a bit because it was Chelsea, Manchester United, Manchester City, Newcastle away. You know, these are not easily winnable games. So we might as well have just gone ahead, maybe put Delaney in charge or have, you know, Doogie Friedman had just come in as director. He could have just stepped in as an interim and just hold fire for a bit. You know,
you've done it before. Chris Coleman's like probably going to quit. He's been stepped in for a while. I was going to talk about Chris Coleman at some point because he's got to be looking.
He's going to quit tomorrow. He'll be gone. And, you know,
and he's a great manager for someone.
Yeah. And now we can't get rid of Hodgson now. Like, we have to have him now for just because we have to be seen to be a professional football club. So we can't fire him. He's an absolutely terrible fit for Palace. I know people talk about his organisation and all of that. That works well in certain places. But Palace are very similar to England in that, number one, we're rubbish. Number two, we're swashbuckling. We don't really have a lot of skill or tactics. We're swashbuckling. We hit people on the break and we play with passion and blood and thunder. That's just the Palace way. And, you know, we saw how that worked out with Hodgson at England. I don't think it's going to work out any better for him here. I don't think the young players really connect with him. I think Stephen Reid as an assistant is... You know, Stevens, he was an incredible blood and guts type player, but I don't really know how that translates to an authority, a position of authority or seniority above the players. Nothing feels right at the moment at Palace. And,
you're right, you've hit the nail on the head. You can't, in the most British way of avoiding embarrassment, you can't get rid of him, ever, like in the next however long. Because it's perception too much of being that guy, like getting divorced back to back really quickly. You can't do it. It's bizarre.
The worst part
we
about it
should
is...
have got Keith Millen out of whatever TGI Fridays he was in and just dragged him back and just gone, look, mate, we're in the shit again. You know what to do.
Yeah, because he's done it three times to you before. So it would have made sense for someone like that, you're right, to step in. And now we're going to have Chris Coleman looking for a Premier League job, a brilliant man motivator. You've already got the players, so it's not like you need to go and spend, you've spent a lot already.
Yeah,
And, you know, it's just someone to get it right mentally.
The squad, obviously, every squad can be improved. But realistically, looking at Palace and looking at the money that's available, there's not a massive amount we can do. We've still got all the same players that did so amazingly in the past. So I just think the mentality has to change. And I'm not convinced for a second that the man who led England to one of the most embarrassing defeats I've seen in my life as an England fan is the man to do it for us. And I really couldn't give a shit where he's from. I was quite old in the 1920s. I couldn't give a shit, mate. No one cares. All right.
Is that the general fan consensus at Selhurst Park? So I guess you've been on tour, so you haven't really, I'm guessing you missed a lot of games this season. But
yeah, you know, I haven't been down there this season yet, but I've obviously been watching very avidly, and I've watched a lot of games in full. When no question, you can see the footage. We had to. Well, you know, what else were we going to do?
Yeah,
we were already at rock bottom, and so we got a guy talking about Croydon coming in, giving it the big, and of course we're going to get behind him. But the fact is, he has no new ideas. The guy's 70. Like, he should be resting.
Yeah.
He shouldn't even be playing golf. He should really be taking it easy, mate. He should be watching his prostate. You know, he should not be in charge of a team in a situation that is as stressful on the heart as it is. You know, he should be buying and going, mate, let's just go to the Costa del Sol and chill. Do you know what I mean? You're fucking 72.
Let's do a remake of the bucket list and call it a day.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the quickest way to get him out of a job, though, to be fair. If the stress gets any more.
Yeah, then, you know, maybe we'll get lucky and his knees will go like right now. I don't know. But I think we're going down. It's sad to say, but I think we're going down.
He's blatantly going to finish just above relegation zone and you're going to be stuck with him forever. It'll be 5 years. Eventually they'll get rid of him and then you'll get relegated.
Yeah.
I live in Lewisham. I'll head in and there'll be a statue of Roy in the middle of it. But yeah.
He will never die. I mean, he's like Attenborough. He was an old man.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's my
experience. He's done this, he's done that. He's done everything in the world of football. I remember them saying that in the 80s.
Yeah. Also in football, I don't get experience. It's just another word for old. It just means he's old. It doesn't mean you're good.
Really old.
He's old. The problem is if you go, I've heard you say before that Palace have a way of just it all working out all right.
Yeah.
You just will be okay.
It will work out for us, but it could be another destroy and rebuild situation because we've been there before as well. You know, you got to remember, in 2014, I was preparing to continue the rest of my life not having a football club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just being an England fan and a fan of the game. And then Steve Parish saved us. Along with, you know, the rest of the guys that form the consortium. So, you know, I've been and the club's been lower than this.
Yeah,
this
is makes a difference as well, doesn't it? Because I grew up supporting Hearts, despite my accent, and we nearly went out of business. And from then on, you just, like, that's all right.
And you lot went through some crazy shit. You
mate.
That dude who was in the dressing room, the chairman, was it Romanov?
Mate, he's genuinely still at large. He was last seen on a submarine. Legitimately, why there hasn't been a screenplay, I'll never know.
So, you know, there's the way the Premier League is and the way that it's presented as this kind of huge, overblown, like, sporting X factor, people don't really appreciate the history of some of the smaller clubs. And you can see that in the argument that's going on around the money, which I think is a real concern for all of us. The idea that Arsenal and Spurs and the Manchester clubs and Chelsea and City who am I forgetting, Liverpool, are talking about breaking away if they don't get more money than everybody else. You know, this is such a sign of the times, you know. It's like, it's those six, and if they're not involved, it's boring. And of those boring clubs, who cares? Like, if they go up, they go down. And it's such a dangerous precedent to set because, you know, the Premier League already is this weird, bloated, overblown thing. But at the same time, it's something that I want to be a part of because when Leicester won it, it changed everything for everybody. But you know what's really dark about the Leicester win is that that is probably the biggest conduit for the breakaway thing with the top six teams. That made them nervous, man. They don't want Leicester eating in on the love they've got in America, China, you know, in India. They don't want anyone else eating into that because there's so much money at play. But I was watching the Bobby Charlton documentary on BBC One.
No, I didn't see it, no.
It's absolutely excellent. I recommend it. Get on iPlayer and check it out. But the one thing to take from it, if you're a genuine football fan, is like, fuck, like, where is the glory? Like, where's the desire for glory? You know, because you watch this show, you see these players, legendary players, who just played to win. They just played to win for the glory. And you know, Bobby Charlton was talking at one point about how Matt Busby would pull him aside outside Old Trafford and he'd show him the queues of people outside. These guys, yeah, see that guy, he works at, in the fish head factory. This geezer's like making number plates. This geezer's like out of prison trying to get his life on track. This dude's got 11 kids. And all these dudes, they're all broke. And they all come here to get a sense of wonder, you know? They want to experience a miracle. That's what you got to do. And I was just watching him say that, and I just thought, Jesus, man, how far are we away from that?
Just go to the Emirates. You'll see how far away we are from any of that.
Yeah, well, you know, my thoughts on Arsenal are well-known. I don't hate any, I always say I don't hate any club, I don't hate any set of fans. I love football, but Arsenal is possibly, you know, I just think a bit of perspective. Palace, no doubt this season we are doomed, but we'll be back. You know, the way I've seen teams come back from, I mean, the absolute doldrums. Southampton, you know, people forget.
Swansea were
in the entire league.
One game at the vet from probably never playing again.
Leeds look amazing this season. It'd be great to have all those Yorkshire clubs back because when I was a kid, they were the big guns, you know?
Yeah.
In the 80s and 90s, Leeds and the early 90s, the two Sheffield clubs, they were a big deal.
And you grew up in North London, didn't you? So it's not like you saw many other Palace fans.
Yeah, you know, I only see Palace fans now because, you know, where I live in Hackney, there's like a train that they made a few years ago, the overground train that goes straight from Hackney to Norwood Junction. So on match days, when you get on it, you see Eagles in exile at each stop. You know, you see one, then you see three, then you see six, then you see 12. It's quite an interesting journey, you know.
Like I say, I live in Lewisham and I don't see many. So being in North London, being a Palace fan must have been.
Yeah, we've never had a massive fan base. You know, if you're a London team, you've got serious competition.
Yeah.
And traditionally, London's had two massive teams, and that's Arsenal and Tottenham. Sorry, Chelsea, you just weren't. Let's just do real history here. You weren't, okay? Now, obviously, we have three massive teams, of which Chelsea are a triumvirate. But, you know, if you were growing up in Norwood, if you're growing up in Brixton, if you were growing up in Broccoli, if you were growing up in Deptford, in Greenwich, why would you look beyond Arsenal or Spurs or even Chelsea? Why would you look beyond them? You know, they had superstars. You're a Londoner. They're a London team. Why would you support Charlton? Do you know what I mean? Why would you support Millwall? Why would you support Palace? So it's very hard for the smaller London clubs, Leyton Orient, you know, you could throw them in the mix as well. Even the Hammers, who've got like a rich history. But, you know, if you're a Londoner, you just think, well, I'll support the biggest London club. Whereas if you're born and bred in Leeds, who's the competition to Leeds? if you're born in Newcastle, who's the competition to Newcastle? Hartlepool? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to support Newcastle. So, you know, it's always been hard for us to build a fan base. That said, we used to draw in some huge crowd in the sort of pre-war days and immediately afterwards as well. But then in those days, football was the form of entertainment. So I think all clubs did very well in terms of those days. Now it's a lot harder. Being in the Premier League has allowed us to become sexy again and attract a lot of kids to come and support Palace. So a lot of the kids who would have said, oh, Palace are my second team because they're cool, but they don't want to support Palace. But them are now saying, you know, Palace are my first team. And they're the ones we're really letting down this season and last season. I mean, we were terrible last season as well. We had a couple of amazing wins, but we were a bit of a mess. Even when we got to the cup final, we were a bit of a mess, you know, league-wise. But that is Palace, and that is the journey you have to go on. And I feel sorry for my kids. And yes, they do have the right to call Childline and explain why they've been forced by an adult to go through this life of misery. But, you know, they accept it, and you know, I don't know what more to say. It's one of those clubs. It's unique. I know people say family club, and that's overused, but it really does feel that way. You know, the first time I ever went in 1990, I felt welcome in a way that I didn't at QPR, which was my local club, I've felt the same ever since. And I think we're a bit like Baggies fans. We have a real sense of humour and a gallows humour even about being shit, and we just get on with it. And any win is a bonus. So yeah, we might go down this season, but you know, hopefully we destroy and rebuild and we start again. You know, I don't think we're gonna keep dropping. I don't think we're that club.
No. Well, listen, we actually, like, Tom and Ash met you when you went to play. You played Borough at home last year. We were lucky enough to get invited along. You won. Which I think you were on a bad run at that time.
We were, yeah.
And we won. So we don't want to say that we're basically taking a lot of credit for that on the podcast over the last few months in a hope to get invited back. So however you can make that work, feel free. But but hopefully we'll see you back at Selhurst Park sometime soon anyway.
I hope so as well. And you know, I do truly hope that we'll stay up. I just don't see how Roy's going to change the mentality. All I can hope for is a great transfer window in January and we freshen up the place a bit, and then who knows. I mean, the biggest thing we got going for us right now is, it's still, even though it's so embarrassing, it's so early.
It is early, yeah.
You know, and we're not trying to win the league. If we were trying to win the league, the season would be over. We're trying to stay up. We're trying to stay up. So
that's true. Yeah. And the people around, it's not like the people above you are all on fire. They're obviously at the point where they are in the league for the reason. Bournemouth only have 4 points from 7 games for a reason. It's not because they're good.
No, and West Ham look absolutely shocking. So, you know, as long as they can keep it up. You know, ask any real Palace fan and they say, oh, what are you hoping for this season? We're the three teams that are shitter than us.
Yeah, there's a few. That is it.
Three teams that are shitter than us. We've got West Ham and Bournemouth are showing
great
potential. So maybe Swansea could get in the mix, Southampton, perhaps, who knows?
Let's hope there's three teams shitter than Palace this year. That's what we're all hoping for.
Let's hope.
Listen, we'll let you get back to going on stage tonight, Ben, but like, thank you so much for chatting to us. Have fun with the rest of the tour, and hopefully we'll see you on again or see you at Selhurst Park soon.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Thank you very much, Ben. Cheers.
Ta-da.
Bye-bye. Hello and welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with Tom, Ash and Craig. You just heard a pretty exclusive part two there with Doc Brown or Ben Bailey-Smith talking all things Crystal Palace and football, which brought some much-needed culture to our podcast, guys.
Do you know what? But obviously, as we record, I haven't listened to it yet. But if I listen, and obviously he was in the same room as Gervais, if Gervais coughs audibly or sort of like, you know, sort of just anything like that, can we say also featuring Ricky Gervais on the Gaffer Tapes podcast? Are we allowed to do that?
That definitely doesn't happen.
No, okay, fine.
I mean, we've been calling ourselves the UK's biggest fantasy football podcast since we had about 3 listeners, so I reckon we can say what we want. So it's
fine. Exactly. When it's the world's biggest podcast.
No, I beg to differ. That's not what we used to say.
Then we just made those things true. That's what we say. We make lies.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
We make wrong claims.
We're now the world's biggest podcast.
Shit.
hosts of Soccer AM.
Yeah.
Emmy winners.
Oh, better not say that because Lloyd Griffiths listens now.
No, that's true, exactly. Oh, you just did that before. Just to get him involved. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, yeah.
God. Shameful. Oh. Utterly shameful.
We've been in. Utterly professional.
Been in Lord of the Rings. Oh, I've seen Lord of the Rings. So.
Yeah. But one of the things that does make us that we did say we would do and we have done is, of course, the Gaffer Tapes live. When we started this, we had a vision, we had a dream, us on stage embarrassing ourselves and struggling for words. And it's going to happen.
It felt like so.
It's funny because that's. Actually, the last thing I would have envisaged.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fucking horrendous, isn't it?
No,
it's
not.
You two little tits there laughing your ass off. You're both fucking professional comedians. It's going to be the worst.
Well, no.
It's going to be 2 seconds into it. You guys are going to be laughing. The crowd are going to be like, this is the best, cheering, clapping. And then someone's going to go like...
All your clothes are going to fall off and you're going to be standing there.
And then it's going to be like naked. Just dead silence. And someone's going to be like, yes, who's the reserve left back for Crystal Palace's under-19 team?
I'll be honest, I'm still buzzing off the fact you called me a professional comedian. I got given 70 quid to once do a cricket club gig that offended parents in front of their kids. And
that was funny. That was funny as fuck, that was. They were still, I went on first, they were still eating dessert and I was doing jokes about wanking. And I was like eye level with this old woman just doing the international gesture for masturbating, basically in her fucking pudding. Unbelievable. Both got paid for it though.
I made a Michael J. Fox joke and just people at the back went, oh, it's a bit harsh.
Yeah, one bloke. No, because there was a little group of lads and we were like aiming all our dirty material at them thinking they'd love it. Craig did a Michael J. Fox joke and they just went, oh, a bit harsh. they're not the kind of lads that you want at a comedy gig. But yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, so professional is a bit of a, it's a strong push. I don't think we're quite
but
professional.
Yeah, Gaffer Tapes Live. Sorry, yeah, we that was something we had talked about since we pretty much started, wasn't it? We're like, oh, imagine doing a live podcast one day. Now we've bloody sold it out, lads.
Yeah.
We have sold it out. It's all been sold out. And we are going to be at the Phoenix Artists Club. It's sold out. You can't come if you're listening if you haven't bought tickets, but it will hopefully be the first of many, we hope, down the line. There'll be more of them. And it's going to be a good night. So we're looking forward to it. And hopefully, we'll be releasing that pod so you can hear it. Not only that, I don't know if you boys saw, we got an email during the week.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know what you mean. Yes. I was going to say we got lots of emails. Yeah, I know what
you mean. We do get lots of emails. But we got a lovely email in the week from a couple from America, the United States of America, the US of A, who said they were gutted they weren't going to be able to come over for the live pod, but they're over in the UK a couple of days later. And so we're going to have... There's some Gafferazzi, Gaffer Tapes drinks going on, Ash, somewhere.
Correct. Tits McGee. We should have... Do you know what the name of the pub is?
What?
No, that's quite a genuine question. I forgot.
No,
We're meeting at a pub in Waterloo, and I'll tell you where in a minute.
Right, you look it up. It's the only time Ash does any Gaffer Tapes admin is when there's drinks involved. He's like, right, okay, let's talk.
That's very interesting.
We were in talks with a radio station a while ago. I kept going, Ash, they just need these figures. Can you just send it to him? And it took him about a month. And then this American woman sent an email and went, let's go for a drink. And he just went, yeah, okay, right. And it's sorted. And he's got 100 people going straight away. So, I don't know about 100, but yeah, there's quite a lot of Gafferazzi. So yeah, head down. When is it? 28th?
Yeah, for the
28th. It's for the Spurs Man U game.
Oh yeah, right. I figured out. It's called the Windmill Tavern, and the road's called the Cut, and we think it's number 86. But so it's basically just outside Waterloo Station.
That's a very good memory.
And we're meeting there. Yeah,
that's really good.
We're meeting there.
Good memory
for the early kickoff.
That's you pluck that out of thin air. It's good. But it should be good.
Really well there,
I'm going to be coming really along. Well. People are going to be there from America. That's very exciting. So,
I'd love to. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. But.
It's all right. You know, it's fine. But it should be good. Yeah. We'll let you know how it goes. And we'll
that's fine. No,
why did you announce it?
We'll
have a drink after the live pod anyway.
We'll take photos for Tom. But yeah, but basically the point is, if you're a listener, you're more than welcome to come watch football with us. That's the point. If you can't make it to the live show, but want to have a drink with a few people, then come along. Right, in a bit of a reversal, normally we do this in part two, but obviously we had the chat with Doc Brown. We're going to go through a couple of tweets and questions, Facebook and Twitter, a special 100 episodes one to keep it brief, and then there's a big old quiz coming in a minute. But we'll start with a couple of tweets in a little section that we like to call
Tweets for my tweet.
Who is asking?
Nino tweeted us.
Right.
Old school listener. He said...
Wasn't he at the Togger Draft?
Yeah, he came to the Togger Draft just to watch.
He was part of the audience at the Togger Draft.
Yeah, it was great. It was really, really good.
Legend.
He said, did I mention that I run an FPL club at my school? My selling slogan for the pupils might have to be Always Captain Welbeck. Funny you say Always Captain Welbeck. You can get an Always Captain Welbeck t-shirt at the Gaffer Tape shop. You can, they're brilliant. But he also said, I give out prizes in the assembly when the Premier League finishes. Yeah. Any ideas on what a good prize would be for a secondary school? I like that he added that.
Funny you asked that.
In case we went, dildos, mate, give them dildos. Dildos all day long, boy.
Funny you asked that.
And Neil versus Real, dildo.
Yeah, cocaine and dildos, mate. For a secondary school.
There's various good prizes, all with pretty reasonable delivery
definitely
costs.
Surely, I was going to say, surely, Gaffer Tapes merch.
Yeah, not the no-click wanker.
I genuinely didn't even
not
think
the no-click wanker one.
Get him an Always Captain Welbeck.
I think you should just get together and celebrate.
Oh, there we go.
I thought I'd work that in instead of trying to do in the background.
With some rum to Jeremy Runner, was that a badger ale? It's hard to know.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Maybe, in fact, you know what? We haven't done it yet. Maybe before Christmas will be the first of our badger ale giveaways, the new American ale that they've given us.
Yeah, there's a new one, isn't there? Yeah. That looks nice.
Our prizes this year are going to be their new American pale ales, I think. So maybe we'll give away some of that before Christmas.
Trendy.
But no, the answer is don't give your secondary school kids alcohol because they'll be doing that off-site anyway. Get one of the t-shirts. Give him a t-shirt or a tote bag.
If he's genuinely saying Always Captain Welbeck, get him an Always Captain Welbeck tote bag or teacup.
Yeah, because if you give them an Always Captain Welbeck tote bag, it teaches them about fantasy football and bullying. So that's kind of good.
Exactly. I mean, what the fuck is a tote? I don't even know what a tote bag is. They sell vests.
Your kid,
you can have a vest. If you want a pink gaffer taped vest with no click wanker on, you can buy it.
Absolutely. I never thought that would. Of all the things that I thought would happen in my life, the fact that I was selling a range of vests is not one of them.
I know. So you thought it would be wicker hats, didn't you?
Well, yeah.
Wicker hats and quinoa.
Oh, yeah. Little tiny comedy-sized tricycles.
Yeah. And you can actually, soon you will be able to get gaffer tapes, Lederhosen, coming really soon. So that's all good. But yeah, no, brilliant. I never thought it would. But it's surely something off our site, because, you know, if they're Always Captain Welbeck's their slogan, it's got to be an Always Captain's Welbeck sticker slash tote bag slash baby girl. Don't get him a baby girl. Depends what kind of school it is, whether they get a baby girl or not, to be honest.
He's answered his own question there, really, hasn't he?
He's so gutted. He happened to ask that just before we got the fucking whipstock.
I know. He actually asked it. Yeah, just before. We're doing one more tweet, just quickly, from Jack Saunders, who I think was the first ever guest on the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast.
Right.
Incorrect, massively.
Really? Yeah. I thought he was the first because I was sick one day or something happened and I couldn't do one. It was like right at the very start. And I worked with Jack, little inside thing, and I was like, he knows his football onions. Get him on. I reckon if we look back, I think
I think actor Andy Gibbons.
Was it Andy? All right. Jack was one of the first.
Yeah, certainly.
Oh, definitely one of the first. But he, which is quite fitting. So he said, did you ever think you get to 100 episodes? Did you have a long-term plan, or was it see how it goes? Then when it was awesome, you just carried it on.
We're still waiting for it to get awesome. And then we'll carry it on.
I don't know, really. I remember Ash said once you get to 10 podcasts, it's like that's when a lot of podcasts don't even make it to 10. So once we've done 10, that's brilliant. And then we got to 10, we're like,
Then we stopped trying. And this is where we're at now.
Well, I remember we actually did our first podcast and then didn't do one for about 3 weeks. And Ash went, this is not good enough, boys, come on.
That is true, though. The first ones, I think, once you get past them, you're kind of over the hump of it, aren't you? Because, you know, you feel a bit silly at first. If you listen to them, they're all awesome.
It got to the point where it was like, we can't really do one tonight. Oh, okay, it doesn't matter. But now it's like, if we genuinely can't do one because someone's like burnt their face on their iron in their fucking door or whatever,
or in a tyrannical dictatorship in Asia. Otherwise, that's why you have to be there.
Or getting bummed by the stepdad.
Yeah.
You know, then you do have to do it. And I feel genuinely bad, like guilty that we don't do one, you know?
You know,
But what was the long-term plan? Sorry, that was the part of the question. I just put my hand on Ashley's knee. What was the, did we have a long-term plan?
No, we still don't.
We've had plans as we've gone along, haven't we? We've like, right, first we want to get nominated for an award. Smash that. Then we want to win an award. Smash that.
Yeah.
Get verified on Twitter.
And then,
get celebrity guests.
And then,
we want baby grows.
Get merch.
I just wanted an excuse to drink.
Just an excuse to drink.
I don't know.
Sit down and drink, whereas usually you stand up and drink.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no long-term plans. We still don't have long-term plans now, really. Just, you know.
Well, no. We've got... Yeah, just keep going and just have little things. We want to do this by this time. We want to do that. Want to do that.
Yeah.
Going in the right direction, aren't we, boys?
Yeah, exactly. You know
we've done well. Should we all have a hug? Let's have a hug.
You know who must have been the first guest?
Mm.
Must have been Max, the Naked German.
Probably. Well, I think it was Andy. World I think it's tough between Andy and Max then.
Well, what's a guest and what's a host? That's a good point. Jack Saunders came on and filled in my role as a host.
But so. Neither of them will during the World Cup. Oh,
we'd have to check this. Maybe the Gafferazzi will have to look. That's the kind of thing they'd do.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing. Go have a look.
Yeah,
have a look.
But yeah,
the same person who keeps updating our Wikipedia page, whoever they are, bless them, keeps doing. I looked the other day; it was like Luke Kempner. Yeah, well, that was added. Lovely. but yeah. So thanks, Jack. Yeah, I don't know. When we're awesome, we'll let you know.
Exactly. We said we had one Facebook question, didn't we, for a 100 episode special?
Oh, we did. Yeah. Get the old thing up.
Chuck Bailey.
Well, hold on, because you can't do Facebook without doing the Facebook jingle.
That's it.
Lovely stuff.
Oh. And you can hear that jingle live next week.
Where he'll be singing it. He doesn't. No, he won't be. He won't be singing it.
With the new controversial theme tune.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Oh. Backlash.
So, Chuck says, out of all 100 episodes you've done, what have each of you thought was your favourite moment/game week? Much love and congratulations on hitting the big 100. A million fires and a dildo.
It's an aubergine, but yeah, it does mean that.
Chuck, who's this Chuck guy?
Don't know, never heard of him.
He was former guest on the show.
Never heard of
him. Just before we won an award, we've never mentioned.
Guy, yeah.
Fryer Chuck.
Chucky O'Hare.
Favourite game week was the year I won, because I did it in the last week against Ash, out of the three of us, that is. I think I did it in the very last game week.
It was, 14-15.
I took a 4-point hit and then you beat me by 3 points.
Yeah, so it was a big one. So that was that. Favourite moment.
I enjoyed beating you both last year. That was nice.
We did a tweet for favourite moments. A lot of people tweeted in their favourite ones, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, we did fucking hell. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I said that.
Maybe we'll do that again.
Hashtag #Gaffer100.
And give out a spot prize.
Yeah. I also did say we'll give out a prize. And someone tweeted and went, bet you fucking don't.
Well, maybe we'll do that again when we release this pod, and we'll give out the first of our Badger Ales.
Yeah, good idea.
But yeah.
Yeah, but there was a lot. There was a lot of Deeth, the Deeth story.
Yeah.
That's good.
The first time we had Dom on was a big one for us. The big
first time we had Dom, the Lee Sharp anecdote.
Yeah,
I think Neil versus Real was up there.
The my two favourite things.
Mm.
Definitely Muller versus Muller. I thought was good.
Right.
Mm.
And
what was that the quiz you made up? Funny why you would think that was good.
Well, it was Craig's answers. Like
atmosphere.
Sure.
Yeah. And.
The Drunken Pod. We had a lot of people say the Drunken Pod.
I think
this year's Drunken, like, end of season pod was mental.
Yeah. One of the outtakes where you're talking about the recipe for making onions. Oh, bread sauce?
Bread sauce, yeah.
We went on there. Oh, and your So Solid Crew rap.
Which never made it onto the pod.
It did.
Did it?
Yeah, it's an outtake on one of the episodes.
Is it?
Yeah.
We can't start naming things that don't make it onto the pod.
Sorry. Yeah, I never heard that. I'd heard rumours, like, your missus said that I did it. Your missus said that I was rapping to her when I was drunk and I couldn't remember, and I thought that's the most embarrassing thing ever. I didn't know it made it on a fucking podcast.
It did.
One of the early ones where Ash talks about the barbecue where he bet 100 quid is still one of my favourite moments to listen to.
Yeah, that's really
from
good.
Those early pods. Because you have to sift through a lot of shit in those early pods.
Yeah, they're very low energy.
They are compared to now, but yeah, there's lots. Well, maybe we'll do a tweet and ask for some of your favourite moments. Doesn't have to be us. We're not that self-indulgent. Favourite game weeks.
But it does have to be Neil versus Real.
Yeah, otherwise, or wearing a T-shirt.
Or the Lee Sharp.
But exactly.
So, tweet us, actually. Yeah, at the Gaffer Tapes.
Yeah.
Tweet us. Hashtag Gaffer100, I think I was there.
Yeah, we'll do that and we'll get a prize sorted out for our best one.
Yeah,
it can be your favourite game week moment if you beat someone the last kick. I lost last year on Chris Smalling scoring an own goal, which was horrendous.
Ones like that
would be good. Tweet us. We just had another tweet of someone in their merch as well. Someone's got an Always Captain Welbeck t-shirt on. Martin Snowy Stewart. It's a very cool one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Patron. He's coming to the live bloody pod.
Yeah, he's a Gafferazzi. Yeah. So,
amazing.
But here's to making new memories, guys, before we get too self-indulgent. How would you both like a 100th episode special quiz?
I would bloody love it, mate.
Exactly.
Yes, please.
You'd like it because you're 4-1 down, Tom. So
no, it's not 4-1.
We'll call it
4-2. I think it's 4-2. I think, no, I'm going to go back and check, obviously.
We'll call it...
I think I'm going to say at this point it's 4-2.
We'll call it 4-2.
Able to clarify.
Now, it's been difficult because obviously I've had a few quiz ideas. I've even had some help from some gaffer listeners for quiz ideas. But I don't want to use... I've got special ones for the live show. So I had to think of something apt. So this is the Gaffer Tapes 100 Club Special. So all of the questions tonight revolve around the number 100. So, so the 100 is the 100 is an answer to a lot of the questions. So there's going to be three rounds this quiz. There's lots of points on offer as we go through, I think, is how we're going to do it. So there's going to be... there's going to be points per round. So there's a lot of moving around in this, okay?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, so question number one.
Are we both answering?
There's going to be a bit of a mix, but for question one, you're both going to be answering, yeah. So you're going to need to have this written down in a trust exercise, whether it be on your phones or whatever. You're both there, so it's fine. So question one, and there's a point on offer here to your overall scores. It's an easy one to start you. There's one player in the world that has had a transfer fee of £100 million or more. There's four with over €100, but only one that's had a transfer fee of over £100 million in the world. Okay, and I need to know who that player is.
Oh, my goodness.
It's an easy one, Tom. This is the easiest one we've got.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, I know that one.
You know it's... you know it already.
He knows the
thing. There's no pressure on it. No pressure on this question, Tom. Don't worry about it. There's no pressure.
So there's a point each. There's four tiers. A point each per question. This is like, it's all basically, I'm trying to make it as dramatic as possible for the 101st episode on the live show. So, Tom, we're going to come to you first.
Neymar, innit?
And Ash, did you get Neymar?
Correct.
Neymar. So it's a point each. So it's 5-3 live. Now, bonus points.
God, 5-3.
There's a bonus point for each of you if you can name the other three that are over €100.
Oh, God, over 100.
So there are three other players who've got over €100 rather than pounds in the world.
€100?
Yeah, so there's four players over €100 million. One of them is Neymar. Who are the other three? You'll get a bonus point if you can get all three of them. In the interim, I'm going to talk about the live show quiz. It's going to be very special. There's going to be sounds.
I'm struggling.
There's going to be visuals. It's very exciting. For those of you not coming, you'll be able to listen to it anyway. Right.
Yeah.
Can we just pause the episode for about 40 minutes?
Well, while you try and write them down.
If you don't have it,
it's a tough one to get all three of these. Right.
Fuck. What about one of them?
You get no points for one of them, but Ash, have you got three names?
I've got two names.
Oh, shit. Wait a minute.
If you don't have three names, it's fine. There's plenty of other questions. It was a little bonus.
Do I get anything for having two names?
No, you don't get anything for two names. Are we giving up? Ash, have you got three names?
No, I can't remember, because I guess they were all from this summer, weren't they?
Apart from one, exactly. Who did you guys have? There's no points there. Neither of you got three answers. Who did you have between you?
All right. Bale wasn't it?
Yeah, Bale was one of them.
The guy who went to Real Madrid from Monaco? What happened?
No.
He went to PSG, didn't he, on a Schneid loan?
You're looking for Usman Dembele.
That's the one. To
Barcelona, yeah. And then Pogba was the third.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So, no points there. So, still 5-3. Okay. In this one, you've each got a riddle.
Oh.
A squad numbers riddle where all of these add up to 100. So, these people's squad numbers add up to 100.
Okay.
And I want you to give me their squad numbers if you know them. You've got separate ones. So, Tom, I'm going to give you your one first. I'm going to give you the four names of these people that add up to 100, and you get a point per one that you can get. And whilst you're working out, I'll talk to Ash about something. So, Tom, your four names, and these four players' squad numbers all add up to 100, is Sadio Mane, Marouane Fellaini, Gabriel Jesus, and Callum Chambers. Now, those four players, their squad numbers add up to 100. You're going to have a few seconds to try and guess their four squad numbers. As a clue, I would make sure they all add up to 100, Tom, because that's what they do. So whatever your maths is.
Okay. I think I know a couple of them.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I thought this one was up your street, Ash.
No, it's exactly not.
Why?
Because I have never remembered the number of a player's shirt ever.
See, I'm quite good at ones from like the 90s.
It just has never in my entire life been of any interest to me.
I don't wank off over it. I just remember.
No, but I mean, you know, somehow people, it's like a thing you would remember, like you would bother to note the information.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but just for some reason, nothing at all.
That's one of the ones that weirdly sticks in my head. So I always remember like the sponsor on the shirt or the squad. Like, I always remember Neil Ruddock wore 25 at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Things like that.
For some reason, it's just never.
I'm quite good with that sort of shit. Right, I think I've got it.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Tom, Sadio Mane.
I said 16.
No point. Marouane Fellaini.
27.
Points, yes. So 5.
You're joking!
No, 5-4 fucking overall. Hell. But the maths of it means you can't get the other three right, otherwise you're an idiot. Gabriel Jesus.
22.
Incorrect. Callum Chambers.
45.
Incorrect. You get 1 point, so it's 5-4 overall. The squad numbers were...
That's not bad.
Sadio Mane wears 19. Fellaini 27. Jesus wears 33.
33.
And then obviously if you get those three, you know that Callum Chambers wears 21.
Oh, I originally had Chambers 22.
Okay.
And then thought that's not the match.
Okay, Ash, your four players. Damn.
Really happy about that.
Your four players are Daniel Sturridge, plus Antonio Valencia, plus Yaya Toure.
Oh, fuck.
Plus Nacho Monreal.
I tell you what, I would have done better with this one.
You'll notice they're all Liverpool, United, City, Arsenal to try and make it fair. So Sturridge plus Valencia plus Toure plus Monreal. So whilst Ash having a little think. Tom, what are you looking forward to most over the next 100 episodes?
Next 100 episodes, just more of the same. Just getting in some quality guests. Just having a laugh.
Who's your dream guest?
Who's my dream? Do you know what? We actually got this. Oh, we got a tweet from our friend Ryan Fantasy Yoramar talking about the in-betweeners. He was like, who are you boys if you were one of the in-betweeners? Because he said he thinks that Jay was actually based on me, which I thought was quite mad. But it will, I think it might be James Buckley.
Really?
Yeah, I love James Buckley, and he's a big... I mean, if you could have anyone, fucking hell, I don't know, Gervais would have been a pretty good one. But yeah, or Stephen Graham. I love Stephen Graham.
Do you know who I thought you'd be? Your dream guest would be?
Dyer. I know you're going to say Danny.
No, Bob Mortimer.
Oh, really? Bob Mortimer. Oh, of course. Bob Mortimer, but, you know, rival podcast. You know.
I thought he'd be...
Did he win an award at the FBA 2016? Don't think so. He wouldn't come on. He's sour about it. But, yeah, but fucking hell, Bob Mortimer is the funniest man in the world. But you don't want someone showing you up, do you?
That's very true. That's why you've got me and Ash here. Right, Ash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tom's like that. Tom's like, yeah, Ash has had enough time now. Right, so it's 5-4 now to Ash overall. Right. So these four squad numbers all add up to 100. Ash,
yep.
Daniel Sturridge.
I have literally got no idea about any of these, so they don't even add up to 100.
But that's a problem. But yeah,
totally random guesses.
Daniel Sturridge.
18.
Incorrect, but not far off. Valencia.
32.
No, incorrect. Yaya Toure.
Something mental, like 57?
No, his is quite iconic, I think. And
I think it is.
And Nacho Monreal.
11.
No points. It's still 5-4. Tom, how did you get on with them out of interest? Sturridge.
So Yaya's 42, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
I knew it was a high one.
Sturridge, is Sturridge 19?
No, he's 15.
Ah, 15.
Oh, Valencia.
17.
20, no, is that 6, actually?
25, Valencia. And then that leaves Nacho Monreal at 18. Okay, so it's 5-4 to Ash in the 100 special quiz. Now, this one, there's overall 5 points each on offer.
Okay.
So in the history of the Premier League, 26 people have scored 100 goals or more. You're going to get to alternately guess different players. You're going to get five guesses each. Now, Ash is winning, so it's only right that he goes first and gets the first guess. Even if you get it incorrect, you will get your other four guesses, and it's a point per one you get right. So we're looking for 26 players have scored 100 league goals or more since the beginning of the Premier League era. Ash, for a point, can you name one of those players?
Aguero?
Correct. Sergio Aguero has scored 128 league goals as of the end of September, that is. So that's a point for Ash. So it's 6-4. Okay. Tom?
Alan Shearer.
Alan Shearer is the top scorer on 260, correct? That's 6-5. Ash?
Mm-hmm. Rooney?
Wayne Rooney is 201. He's the second highest. So that's 7-5. Tom?
Thierry of Henry.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, Thierry Henry is 175. So that's 7-6. Ash, third guess?
Andy Cole?
Andy Cole is the third. You've got the top three now. Third top scorer, 187. So that's 8-6. Tom?
Teddy Sheringham.
Oh.
Teddy Sheringham is in at 10th, 146 goals in his career. So that makes it 8-7. Ash, your fourth guest?
Les Ferdinand.
Excellent guess. Les Ferdinand is
that's
ninth.
That's a great one.
149. So that is 9-7. Tom, fourth guess?
Michael Owen.
Oh.
Yes, Michael Owen is eighth. You've almost got the full top 10 on 150, so that's 9-8.
I'm struggle
after Ash,
this
your thing. Fifth guess?
This is a bit... Might be pushing at this one. I don't know if he was in the Premier League long enough. Suarez?
Oh, that's a good guess, but that's incorrect.
Oh.
Luis Suarez does not have 100 league goals, so that leaves us at 8-7. Tom, this is to level it up.
I'm going to say Jurgen Klinsmann. I can't have done.
You had the chance to level it up, Tom. But going into the live show, we would have been 8-8 going into the live show. And you ruined it. It's not. It's not Jurgen Klinsmann. If you had both got it right, I'd have given you the opportunity to carry on there.
I nearly said Dwight York.
Dwight York.
No, I've been.
Oh, yeah.
Dwight York would have got you a point.
Oh, fuck.
Also, what about Cantona?
No, Cantona out. Other people who would have got you points there, you could have had Robbie Fowler, Jermaine Defoe.
Oh, no, I should have said Fowler.
Van Persie, Hasselbank, Keane.
Van Persie.
Anelka York, Stephen Gerrard, Ian Wright, Dion Dublin, Heskey, Giggs,
Lampard,
Scholes,
fuck.
Bent, Crouch, Drogba, Letizia, Milligan, Cleese, Everett. All of those would have...
And get your Milligan, Cleese, Everett t-shirt at thegaffertapes.com/shop.
All of those
well.
Got your point, but it's 8-7 going into the Gaffer Tapes Live. I'm excited about that.
Oh, wow.
Mission accomplished. Incredible. That was the 100 special quiz that took you to 8-7. Yeah, so there you go.
Amazing.
That was all the things I could think added up
8-7
to 100.
8-7 going into that final quiz. But if I listen back and it was like actually 3-3 instead of 4-2, I'm going to be really annoyed.
As if it's... First of all, as if you're going to listen back, and second, as if it's going to be that.
As if we've done that many pods together. You're mental.
Yeah,
that's true. So it won't be that. But quick fixtures this week coming up. The most important thing to tell you before we go is that I'm sure you will know, but it's Friday evening kickoff. West Ham play Brighton on Friday at 8 p.m.
So do your transfers before then and then laugh at everyone.
Yeah.
Who at 7 o'clock haven't done their transfers and go, oh shit.
Exactly, yeah. One for
us. Text your mates at 7:30.
Yeah.
Reminding them to do them.
Yeah,
like make sure you do transfers, mate.
Be a real dickhead, exactly. But Ash, your lot are on telly, so that's good.
Yes.
So you get to watch that. So that'd be good.
Do the footballs and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And then lots of other good games over again. Super Sunday's very good. Everton play Arsenal and Spurs play Liverpool. So that's actually a good Sunday. You don't have to watch West Brom. West Brom play Saturday evening. So find something to do. Go out for a Chinese or something. Don't watch that because it's god awful. Any tips particularly for this week before we go? Who are you thinking to look bring in?
City at home to Burnley looking good. Bournemouth, I had a little look. Bournemouth have conceded a lot of goals. 19th in the league. So I'm going to go for my little gaffer pick of the week. I'm going to go on a limb, and this is what I've texted Kidney Rob, and as soon as I texted it to him, I was like, well, it's got to be my gaffer pick of the week. I'm going to go for Choupo-Moting.
Choupo-Moting, okay.
Choupo-Moting, nice. Please. Yeah, I'm going to go for him, because I fancy a little, you know, maybe a couple of assists, maybe a goal from him. Fancy that one. Stoke against Bournemouth. What are you thinking, boys?
Oh, it's, I mean, without, if you weren't being hipster about it, it's impossible to overlook Man City. So if you can get De Bruyne and Silva and the right one of Jesus and Aguero in your side.
Well, is Aguero back now?
He was on the bench. He was on the bench for the game.
Yeah. But is he likely to be back?
I don't know, because I've got Jesus and Silva, so I don't really want to move that around. But
well, I've just, as you know, live on the podcast, I brought in Silva. So yeah, that might be a decent captain choice. I've got Silva and Sterling. So
if you really want to get a jump on value and everything, then why not try Wilf Zaha? Why not? Give him a bash.
Okay, that's a shout. Have that as your pick.
I was going to say cheeky little Hossaloo pick.
Yeah.
Well, let's do that. Let's all go a little bit hipster then.
Let's
Chupa
do that.
Martin.
Yeah.
Zaha and Hossaloo.
You can keep your De Bruyners. You can keep your Silvers. You can keep your football ramble. You can keep your Guardian football podcast.
Depends whether you want to get points or not, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to get points,
then
get David Silva.
We don't want to play at the Apollo. We want to play at the Phoenix Artists Club. To
exactly.
An intimate audience. So that's what we wanted. But yeah, anyway, there are our picks. Tweet us your balls, obviously, #balls, at the Gaffer Tapes. Email us info@thegaffertapes.com or go on Facebook/thegaffertapes and let us know about your game week.
Don't go on Facebook, go on Twitter. We're much better at Twitter.
We are
we're
much better at Twitter. But you can
Twitter.
Get in touch
we
with us.
We are rubbish at Facebook.
Any way you want. And the best way to get in touch with us is probably to log on to the shop and buy something. That's probably it.
That is, and then tweet us a picture of you wearing the t-shirt. Because I said before we went on air, I went, I'm probably going to do a collage.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to feature in my collage, buy yourself a t-shirt.
Yeah, we're big on collages.
Or a jumper. Or a
and then we're going to put that collage on a tote bag and you can have that. So that's all right. So yeah.
And then we'll photograph you wearing the tote bag.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like Inception. It'll be like a t-shirt within a tote bag within a t-shirt.
Yeah, within a tote bag. We'll just carry on doing that, so it'll be fine. But yeah, otherwise, the next time you hear from us, we'll have done our live show, be at our live show, which we're very excited about. So thank you to everyone who booked tickets. It's going to come down. Those who didn't, I promise you next time should be bigger and better. But that's about us covered, isn't it? It's all nice to be back together.
I think Ash probably wanted to say a little something, as he usually does.
Ash had written a poem, yeah.
In a very sexually aggressive poem to everyone.
I was going to thank the Patreons, but there's a fuck ton of them now. But let's do it quick anyway. Right. Special thank you to Pat, Colin, Adam, James, Elliot, Joe, Frederick, Daniel, Chris, Ash, Stuart, Edward, Hayden, Susan, Carmen, Ian, Raphael, Luke, Gear, Jason, Peter?
Peter, yeah.
It's a name.
Yeah.
It's still a name.
Chuck, Heath, James, Martin, Jack, Sam, Oscar, Dan, Sabs, Dave, and of course, Johnny.
King of the patrons, first to tweet us a picture of him in his Gaffer Tapes t-shirt.
There you go. Lovely. Thank you very much all to the patrons. Yeah. I'm sure we'll see some of you at the live show. If not, obviously we'll see a lot of you at the drinks we're going to be having on for the Spurs Man U game in Waterloo in London. But tweet us your hashtag balls at the Gaffer Tapes. Good luck for game week 9. We'll see some of you at the live show. That's what we've got time for now. So thank you very much.
And goodbye.
Didn't have any lyrics.
Wasn't sure what was happening about me.
Someone shouting over my head and I thought I was going to get punched.